نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. Alhamdulillah, we've just spent the month of Ramadan and in the remembrance of our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During this month, many of us, and alhamdulillah, many of us must have felt a big difference in our day-to-day lives, and many of us must have felt a big difference in our habits and our worship and in our spirituality. Some of us must have increased in our ibadat, and some of us must have increased in our a'mal. Our spirituality, our ruh must have got some sukoon from this month, some inner peace from this month, as you can say. But unfortunately, there are some brothers and some people who unfortunately did not receive the full benefits of the month that just went by. The holy month, the month where we change ourselves into better Muslims and we make ourselves into a better person as a human as well. Our akhlaq are better. Our worship is more increased and better. For those people who have missed out on those opportunities, now, what we can say, this is a trap of the shaitan that he had put in place before Ramadan even started. Before, a few months in advance, the shaitan prepared that person. So in that month, he's in such a place, in such a way that he has no effect. The Ramadan has no effect on him. Any worship that he does has no effect on his book of deeds. It will not be counted. Now, my brothers, I want to share a little small story with you, inshallah. And this story, if you were to take it into your own lives and put it into your own situation, and then surely you'll understand the true meaning behind the story and what the gist of the story is. If you weren't to focus on what the story is actually talking about, but rather put it into your own perspective and think about if this story is talking about you, and then you will see what the shaitan does to prevent us from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The story, as many of brothers probably have heard before as well, is the story of the great monk. The monk, his name was Barsisa. I'm sure many of us have heard the story and the name. Now Barsisa, he was before Islam, he was a monk and he was a great abid. He was a person who was very pious. And he was a person who would always take away himself from the worldly life, and he would only solely focus on the akhirah, on his deen and his worship. So he would live in a place by himself, and he would neglect himself from the community and everyone else just to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was a very, very pious man. After a few years, there were two brothers who had a sister, and they wanted to go for jihad, the two brothers. And they did not have parents that could look at, or any family, friends or family who could look after the sister. So they thought, why don't we ask Barsisa to look after the sister, as he's a trustworthy person, he's a pious person, and he's a God-fearing person. So let's take our sister to Barsisa and to look after, and we will go for jihad. So they went to Barsisa and they said, "Ya Sheikh, we would like you to take care of our sister, and we are going for jihad, not for any worldly thing, not to work, not, we don't want to go for education, but rather we want to go for jihad in the path of Allah." But because he was a pious person, he said, "Na'udhu billah, and I do not want to do this," and he turned the offer down. And he said, "I do not want to look after her," because he knew the fitna that was to come after this. But look at the shaitan's plan here. He did not come to Barsisa and opened the full door and he told them to do this. He slightly opened the door, the window. He just opened it a little bit just to give him as waswasa. So he said, over here he's not shaitan, he's Sheikh Shaitan now. So Sheikh Shaitan went up to Barsisa and said that they're going for jihad for the sake of Allah, for the path of Allah. And if they leave her with someone else, someone can do bad things to her. They can commit zina with her. They can do unjust with her. And you are a God-fearing person. You will look after her. You will feed her. And you can put her in haya and modesty. So he thought, okay, I can do this for the sake of Allah. So the shaitan comes for you in a way where he wants to tell you this is for the sake of Allah. So put this into your own minds and your story. How does shaitan come to you here? He might not come to ask you to look after someone, but he can ask you, it's just one puff of a cigarette. It's one look at a non-mahram. It's one swear. It's one lie. It's one this and it's one that. It's one text. Nothing can go wrong from one text. Nothing can go wrong from one lie. So this is what the shaitan tries to do. Soon after, the Barsisa took her in and the brothers went away. And she, for her food wise, Barsisa would leave the food outside his door, and she would come from the back of the house and to the door, pick up the food and go back. So there would be no communication, no eye contact, nothing. After that, Shaitan came and said, this is Sheikh Shaitan now, came and said, oh Barsisa, she has to walk around from the other side of the house to come here. Other people can see her and she's still in danger. So why don't you take the food and take her to her door and rather her coming around? This is Shaitan now. There's nothing wrong. It makes logic sense as well. That yes, she has to come around. She's not covered and other people can see her. So it makes logic sense. But this is what the trap of Shaitan is. My brothers, think about this with your own story. This is what the point is. Think about it with your own story here. And then soon after a while, when Barsisa would take the food to her door, and then after that, the Sheikh Shaitan came to Barsisa and said that, oh Barsisa, yeah Sheikh, she must be lonely in there. The brothers have taken a long time. She doesn't have anyone to speak to. So why don't you ask her how she is and if she wants anything else? Why don't you leave the food inside the door now rather than leaving it outside the door? And ask her how she is. Ask her about her halat and her situation. And from there, after one conversation to another conversation, first it was small talk which led to a long talk. And then soon, you know, the great Barsisa, the person who feared Allah, the person who was God-fearing, and the person who was such a pious man, the great Barsisa committed zina. Allahu Akbar, brother. This is what the shaitan does. He would tell you, take one puff of that cigarette. This is not hashish. This is not marijuana. This is not this. This is not that drug. This is just one hashish. This is one puff of the cigarette. This is one text to this girl. This, it doesn't mean anything. It's just one text that I want to send to this girl. And this is one lie that I want to tell to my parents. This is one lie that I want to tell this person to get myself out of the situation. So this is what the shaitan does. Soon after, the girl fell pregnant and she gave birth to a baby boy. Now the shaitan, now he wants to command him. First it was waswasa, telling him, oh do this, it's better to do this and better. It was advice. Now it's command, because he's in the habit and he's stuck. So he says, Barsisa, if the brothers come back and find that there's a boy and they'll ask questions where this boy came from and you have no answer to this, so why don't you get rid of the evidence? Why don't you get rid of the baby? So he went and killed the baby. So what did he do? He committed zina. He then committed murder. The great Barsisa, the person who was such a pious man that everyone knew of his piety, and he fell in the trap of the shaitan. And then after some time, the shaitan came to him again and said, do you think she will stay quiet that you killed the baby and you've done such and such thing with her? Do you think she will stay quiet when the brothers come back? So then he went and killed her as well. So this is not one murder, now it's double murder. Zina And the list goes on, my brothers. So he committed zina and double murder. After such time, the brothers came back from jihad after a long time. And when they came back, they went straight to the house of Marsis and said, "Where is our sister? We're back." And then he lied to them, saying that, brothers, she fell ill, and she, because of her illness, she passed away. And that, so he showed them a random place and said, "This is where she's buried." And they said, "Okay, this is from Allah, and he's a great man, he's trustworthy, why would he lie?" And they believed him and they went away. After a few nights, the brothers seen a dream, and both the brothers seen the exact same dream. And the next morning when they woke up, the brother said to the other brother, saying that, "I seen in my dream that our sister was not buried in that place, but rather she was buried in a different place, and there was a baby also as well. And we seen what happened with our sister." And the other brother said, "That's weird, it's ajeeb, because I had the same exact dream that you seen as well." And they said, "If we had the same dream, then this cannot be wrong, let's go check that place out." And when they went to that place, they seen the brother, the sister, and they seen the baby along in the same grave. And they seen that our dream cannot be a lie, because we seen everything. So they went to Balsisa and they took him to the ruler of that time. So look at the situation that he is stuck in. So he's thinking to himself, Warsisa, that how did I get into this situation? I didn't want to take her into my possession. I didn't want to take her into my protection. And now that I have taken her into my possession, and this is the situation that I'm stuck in. So when he was taken to the ruler, and he was taken to a different room until the ruler comes back, and then Shaitan came in the role and in the image of a human. And he came and he said to Balsisa, "Ya Balsisa, do you know who I am?" And he said, "No, I don't." He said, "I am Shaitan. I am the one who got you into this situation, and I'm the only one who can get you out of this situation." And he said, "How?" He said, "There was only one way that I can get you out of the situation." So now he is commanding him. He's not giving waswasa here. He's not giving him advice here. He's rather commanding him. And he's saying that if you kneel down and you do sajda to me, then I will get you out of the situation that you're in. So what is he making him do here? He's making him do shirk at the highest level, bowing down and kneeling and doing sajda to him, to Shaitan. Kufr and the shirk at the highest level, something that cannot be forgiven. Everything else could have been forgiven. The double murder could have been forgiven. The zina that he committed could have been forgiven. But his last few moments before he passed away, before he was killed, before he was beheaded by the ruler, was that he bowed down and he done sajda to Shaitan, just to get him out of the situation. And what does the Shaitan do? As soon as he bowed down and he done sajda, the Shaitan said, "Khalas, my work is done," and he went away. My brothers, this is just the story of Barsisa, but if you were to bring that same story into our lives now, again, I'm using the same examples because these are the fitnas that we're in our day and age, in our generation. Our youth, what do they say? "It's just one puff of the cigarette that I want to take. It's not drugs that I'm taking. It's just one cigarette. I'm just hanging about with people and I'm not smoking." This is what the Shaitan puts falsehood into your head. "It's just one text to this girl and it doesn't mean anything. She's just a friend. It's just one look. I'm not doing anything wrong. It's just one look at this girl. She's walking by, just one look and that's it, nothing else. It's one lie to my parent, to my friend, to this person that I'm trying to get out of situation. It's one look, my brothers." But Shaitan has studied us. He knows exactly how we think and how we are. He knows every single one of our secrets. He knows every single one of our weaknesses. He knows what his weakness is. And he knows what his strengths are. He knows exactly us because he had studied us. He has been here longer than any one of us. He had tried every single way to make the mankind mislead us and to misguide us. So we cannot think that we are smarter than Shaitan by just doing one puff, by just looking at one girl, by just sending that one text. The story of Barsisa, my brothers, remember it and put it into your own life. Shaitan does not come to you in one go. He does not come and say, oh, go and drink alcohol. No, he would never come to you and say, go and drink alcohol. He would come to you by saying, oh, drink, smoke a cigarette. Then he will come to you, oh, you've smoked a cigarette, now go and smoke marijuana. And then he will take you from there to a different place and different place. And then he will take you to the final stage. This is what the trap of shaitan is, my brothers. And these are the things that we should avoid and we should learn about so we can protect ourselves from the traps of shaitan. If the great Barsisa, a pious man, can fall into these traps of shaitan, then who are we? We can easily, I know myself, I've fallen into the traps of the shaitan many, many, many times myself. And so has all of us as well. Every single sin that we have committed is because we have fell in the trap of the shaitan. It's not because it's just a sin. It's a trap that we have fell into and hence it's a sin. And sins are what breaks the barrier between us and our Creator. The more sins we do, at the time you probably think, oh, I'm just committing a sin. But it's a barrier between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what sins are. But repentance is what can guide us and repentance is what can save us from the traps of shaitan. So repent as much as we can, my brothers. Sincere repentance, not just by your words and you're thinking to your head and you're thinking in your head that I'm just going to repent but I will go back to do what I was doing before. A sincere repentance is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. He knows we will go and commit another mistake or that same mistake again. But what He wants from us is a repentance. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. He repeats in the Quran again and again, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْتَوَّابِينَ. Allah loves those people who repent. Why? It's because Allah knows that we are weak. Allah knows that we will fall in the traps of shaitan. Allah knows that we are sinful and we will commit sins. But the best of us are those who repent. Because Allah then, it shows that we know who our Creator is. It shows that we know who our Rabb is and He's the only one that can forgive us. And my brothers, one final thing and I'll end it here inshallah, is that if you have been given the opportunity and if you've been given the remorse feeling of regretful after you committed a sin, then you should do shukr upon this. Because Allah does not give everyone the feeling of remorse and the feeling of regretness after they committed a sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give every single person the opportunity to repent. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the opportunity to repent, then do shukr upon this. And the more shukr you do, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase your iman and your akhlaq and your day-to-day lives as well, inshallah. So this is I've told you how the shaitan will trap you, and I've also told you the ilaj, as you can say, the way that we can overcome this trap, and that is to repent and to do shukr. These are the two things, my brother. From the whole talk, if you can take one thing, two things, is to repent whenever you commit a sin, a sincere apology, and then shukr upon that repentance, that you're given the opportunity to repent, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely accept our repentance, inshallah. أَقُولِ قُلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ لِهَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Inshallah, we'll pray our sunans now, and after sunans will be khutbah. So if everyone can just stand up and come closer and make safs from now. So if anyone else is coming, they have space at the back as well, inshallah. So if everyone can just stand up and make safs and then do the sunans.